Thanks for listening to Benefit from the Bible. We believe the Bible is God's Word for our temporal and eternal benefit. God bless your listening.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The reading of our gospel today is the same as our text for our sermon, and the basic question will be, how does a person drown a hog? That's our initial question today, and there will be several answers to it. From the pen of Luke, the gospel writer, chapter 8, verses 26 through 39, we read these words. You can follow along in your bulletins, please. They landed, that is, Jesus and his disciples landed in a boat in the region of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. When he, that is Jesus, stepped out on the shore, a man from the town who had demons in him met him. He had not worn clothes for a long time. He would not stay in a house, but in the burial caves. When he saw Jesus, he cried out and fell down before him, and in a loud voice said, "What do we have in common, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torture me." For Jesus had begun to order the unclean spirit to come out of the man. For a long time it, that is the unclean demon, had taken control of him. He had been bound with chains on his hands and feet and had been kept under guard. But he would tear the chains and be driven by the demon into lonely places. Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" "Legion, that is 6,000, he answered, because many demons had gone into him. They begged him not to order them to go into the bottomless pit. There was a herd of many hogs feeding on the hillside, so they begged him to let them go into these. He let them. The demons came out of the man and went into the hogs. The herd stampeded down the cliff into the sea and was drowned. But when those who had taken care of the hogs saw what had happened, they ran away and reported it in the town and the country. The people went out to see what had happened. They came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone out. He was now sitting at Jesus' feet, dressed and in his right mind, and the people were frightened. Those who had seen it told how the man, plagued by demons, had been made well. Then all the people of the surrounding region of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them because terror had gripped them. He, that is Jesus, got into a boat and started back. Now the man from whom the demons had gone out begged Jesus to let him be with him. But Jesus sent him away and told him, "Go home and tell how much God has done for you." So the man left and made known all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. The word of the Lord. You may be seated. How does a person drown a hog? That's our vital evangelism and mission question today. Well, how does anybody get anything about witnessing out of all of that? Well, hang on. Inquiring minds want to know. I'm going to go through the text that I just read, make a few comments, and then make some points at the end of the sermon. Well, Jesus had been preaching. When he was done, he and his disciples got into a boat on the Sea of Galilee, and they went to the other side of the sea. Oh, as the text tells us, they went into the region of the Gerasenes, Gentile territory, pork chop territory, butchering of pork, not eaten by Jews, though maybe the Jews owned these herds, but it was Gentile territory. And there the production of pork was very, very good, because the herdsmen, well, they will report how the herds are going to be destroyed in a little bit. Well, this was the area of the Decapolis, on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. Decapolis means area of the 10 cities. And so, in this one city, there was a man. Oh, he was nuisance number one. See, we learned some other facts from the Gospel of Mark, in addition to what Luke tells us. And one of the things that Mark tells us is that, well, and you can imagine how loudly this man could scream if he had 6,000 evil spirits in him. He cried day and night. Nobody got a nice night's sleep on a Sealy posturpedic mattress, even if they would have had one. It was noise continually, 24/7, when the demons were active. Sometimes they were not so active, as we will learn as it goes along. But when Jesus stepped out of the boat, this man ran up to him and met him. And some things are told us about him. He was totally naked. He had not worn clothes for a long time. The people of the town couldn't keep clothes on him, because when the spirits became active, he would rip them off, just as he would rip the chains that they put on his handcuffs. He was public nuisance number one. Noise-wise, figure-wise, not someone good to look at. Now, he wouldn't even stay in a house. He stayed in the burial caves outside the city. He was totally, well, he just was not civilized at all. Now, when he saw Jesus, he came up. And I want you to notice something very interesting that Luke does. For some of the time, he has the man saying, me, I, singular. Other times, we, us, plural. You see, these demons have totally taken over the personality of this man. He is not himself. He is a child of Satan because he is controlled. And there's only one person who can help him. The one who created the demons, no, he did not create them to be evil. But they decided to rebel against God after creation. But Jesus never made them in the creation stronger than God. And so when Jesus comes down here on earth and uses his power, he can defeat 6,000 at one time. They have no chance against him. And that's why this man comes running, guided by these 6,000 demons, and yells at Jesus, what do we have in common with you, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Wow, they were good theologians, way smarter than the evolutionists who don't think there's a God, that there was a God who made the world, that there was a God who redeemed the world. They know him very well. And they know they are in big trouble. I will tell you why from the book of James in just a little while. But they say to him, besides calling him Jesus, they know his name. They know that he's the Most High God. Great passage, by the way, to use against the Jehovah's Witnesses when they come to your home. Jesus is called God in the scriptures, even by the demons, because they know who their boss is, even though they rebel against him constantly. And they are begging Jesus. these who have all this power fall down at Jesus' feet and they say, I beg you, do not torture me. Why not? Well, it says Jesus had begun to order the unclean spirit to come out of the man. And when Jesus speaks, let there be light, and the light shone in creation, when he says, come out, they cannot rebel and not come out. They know they are in deep trouble, and they want to keep tempting people on this earth because they want the population of hell to grow exponentially. For a long time, that is the demon, had taken control of that man. He, that is the demon-possessed man, had been bound with chains on his hands and feet, been kept under guard, but he would tear the chains. See, when the demons weren't active, then they would run up to this man, they would tie him up, probably even put a mouthpiece across him so he couldn't yell, chain him up and think they could hold him. But when the demons came active again, he had the strength of more than Samson, and he could tear those chains off, and he was probably bloodied up, and he would rip his clothes off. He was nothing for society, and he needed Jesus. The man did. The demons want nothing to do with Jesus. So Jesus asked him, like he did know, he said, what's your name? And the man doesn't answer. All the demons answered. Legion, that's my name. My name is 6,000. You see, a Roman legion of soldiers at full strength was 6,000 soldiers. So this man had just been demon-possessed beyond words. And why? Well, because many demons had gone into him. They begged him. Now watch this. This is very important. They begged him, begged Jesus, not to order them to go into the bottomless pit. Now you and I know what the bottomless pit is because of the book of Revelation, that Satan and his angels are thrown into the bottomless pit. They can never come out in eternity in order to have any of the blessings that you and I will have in heaven. But this is very interesting. You have to read between the lines. You see, evil spirits are not omnipresent like our God. Our God is everywhere in control. These evil spirits are territorial. They have a certain territory that they take charge of. We learn that from the book of Daniel, where Gabriel, the strong one of God, is in combat with the angel of Persia. No, he's not an angel over Russia or China or America. He was over Persia. They're territorial like cats. You know how cats protect their territory? And these evil spirits do not want to be driven out of this territory, out of this region, because if they are driven out, they have to immediately go into the bottomless pit, and they cannot tempt anyone any longer, which would prove to be over 2,000 years until Jesus returns. Now, they're very clever. Jesus is also very clever. Now, I don't know which way the text should go. I'm going to tell you which way I think it goes. You can go the other way if you want to, because it says here that Jesus permitted them, after they requested, oh, don't drive us out of the territory, put us into that herd of hogs over there. Jesus permitted. The demons came out of the man, went into the hogs, and the herd stampeded down the cliff into the sea, that is the Sea of Galilee, and the herd was drowned. How does a person drown a hog? Well, I made up the question for my sermon. Then I called my supporters in Iowa who are farmers and asked them for the answer to my question. See, first you create the question, then you go hunt for the answer. So I called the farmers up, and they raise wheat and everything. They also raise hogs. My first question was, what's the difference between a hog and a pig? They said, well, a hog is bigger. Oh, that helped me with the text here. Because you see, how does a person drown a hog? They're lard. If you put them in water, they float. Well, the thing is, since they are heavy, when they went over the cliff into the sea, they would go down deep. And the farther you fall, well, the harder. Okay? And they probably would have had so much water inside by the time they made it up to the surface, they were dead. And evil spirits don't live in dead things. They come out. Now here's the problem of the text. Did Jesus outfox them? And when they said, we want to go into the herd, he drove them over the cliff, which was out of their region, and so they have to go to the bottomless pit? Maybe. But I don't think so. Because I know how the text ends. And I think these evil spirits were going to do what when they came out of those hogs? They were going to return to town to a whole bunch of people who had empty hearts, who weren't filled with the Holy Spirit, but were empty and neutral. And you know, Jesus said something about that, did he not? In Luke chapter 11, you remember the little parable story that Jesus told about the man who had the evil spirit inside him? And some way he cleaned up his life a little bit, and the evil spirit left, swept it out real clean, but he didn't do something, did he? The Holy Spirit did not enter into his heart. A good spirit was not put in the place of the evil spirit that had gone away. Well, the evil spirit is out there looking around for a new home, and he stops by the old residence, the guy who had gotten rid of him. He said, wow, I'm going to move back into that place. It's all swept and clean. Looks like a new apartment. Then Jesus says, but before he moved back in, he went out and found seven other spirits more evil than he himself, and all eight moved back into the man who had cleaned house, because there was nothing to drive the evil spirits out, no one called the Holy Spirit. And so we got this situation here where the hogs go over, they drown, and the evil spirits, it seems, come out, and they're going to go back in to do their dirty work until Jesus comes back on the last day. Well, the story goes on. We got a problem. We got a giant eagle problem. We got a slaughterhouse problem. Because it says when those who had taken care of the hogs, they were employed, they had a good job. Well, when they saw all of the hogs dead, job security is gone. So those who took care of the hogs saw what happened. Well, they ran away and reported it in the town and in the country, all over the Decapolis. The word got out, the hogs are dead, but the guy is healed who caused so much of the problem. Well, the people, all those who heard the herdsman report, went out to see what had happened. Everybody's nosy wants to know, right? They came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone out. Wow, what did he look like? Well, he was now sitting at Jesus' feet, just like Mary and Martha had sat. Here he is, calm as ever, totally civilized. How do I know that? Because he was sitting there dressed and in his right mind. He's totally mentally in control. And the people were frightened. Now, it reminds us of the story of Peter, right? Remember when Jesus had him catch that great big load of fish? And Peter was so terrified at that, he said, depart from me, because I'm a sinful man. Maybe that's the meaning here. I'm wondering, however, if the terror that struck them was not about being out of work, out of money, out of pork, And you know, the whole crucifixion story, if you've ever watched the trial of Jesus before Pontius Pilate, before the Sanhedrin, the Jews, what was it all about? The Jewish leaders were afraid that Jesus was becoming more popular. They would lose their jobs. Pilate was worried that Caesar would call him back if he didn't crucify Jesus. He was worried about his job. That's people, right? We're down here on earth. What did Colossians say? Put your things on things above. Put your mind on them. Not on earthly things. But you know what? You and I live on earth. We look in the mirror every morning, don't we? We check the bank account. Can we pay the bills? Will we have enough food? What about this problem? How are we going to solve this sickness? Whatever. Our minds often are not on things above because we live below. And that's the natural thing to think about. You have to have the Holy Spirit to be thinking about things above. Because you and I, what are we like? Oh, I don't feel good. I don't have the energy I used to have. Oh boy, how am I ever going to pay this bill? They just keep increasing. And you know, we go to the negative and to the earthly thing. And Jesus says, hi guys, I'm up here. I'm in charge. I take care of you. That's what faith is called. Can you trust me? Oh yes, we trust you, Lord. But I'm going to check the bank account anyway. That's us. We're people. It's the very thing to do. And I think that the terror that struck them, yeah, they could be overawed by Jesus for sure. But at the same time, I'll bet you they're thinking, wow, where is the paycheck if we don't deliver the hogs to have them butchered and make the money in order to buy more hogs in order to go on with our business? It's a common concern of human beings. So those who had seen it told them how the man, plagued by demons, had been made well. Now watch this. Then all the people, I would suspect, since they came from all over, that's the whole area of the 10 towns, the Decapolis, that all the people came from the surrounding region of the Gerasenes, remember, Gentile territory, and they asked Jesus to leave them. Wow. He's just gotten rid of public nuisance number one, has he not? Are they thankful? No, they're looking at the other side of the coin, the negative side, if you will. And they asked Jesus to leave. You know, when Jesus is asked to leave, he'll go. I think Hank Hanegraaff said it well, the Bible Answer Man. He says, Jesus doesn't drag anybody into heaven kicking and screaming. If you don't want him, he'll leave you behind, if that's what you want. And so it says here that Jesus got into the boat and started back. Now the man, and this is interesting, and this is the key. How does a person drown a hog? And I told you, the question is vital to evangelism, to mission work, to witnessing. Now watch what happens here. This is why I think I know the spirits came back into the town and weren't out of the region and going to the bottomless pit. It says, now the man from whom the demons had gone out begged Jesus to let him be with him. Wow, somebody that finally wants to be a wholehearted disciple. Add me to the 12. I'm ready to go. Like Isaiah, here am I, send me, send me. And you think Jesus say, wow, finally a great follower. Come right along. Not. Jesus sent him away and told him, go home and tell how much God has done for you. So the man left and he did what Jesus said. He made known all over the town how much Jesus had done for him. Now, I'm sure that when Jesus said, tell them how much God has done for you, he wasn't referring to himself, though he could have been. But Jesus' goal always was to give glory to God the Father. But notice how this man ties it right into Jesus. He knows Jesus is from God. Jesus has said, I and my Father are one. And he sees it as a unit, and he goes and he witnesses. Why does he need to witness? If Jesus would not have left that man behind in Parma, there in the Gentile territory, the evil spirits would have been coming back in, inhabiting the people, and getting them all ready for hell. But Jesus leaves this man behind to spread the word where he was so that people could be filled with the Holy Spirit and not with evil spirits. Well, the application is so easy. You know, they were afraid of Jesus, those evil demons. That's what James says in chapter 2, verse 19. Even the evil spirits shudder to think about the end because they know they're going down. I'm going to repeat a story I told you several years ago. It is so good. It's about a youth director from the east side of Cleveland in one of our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod congregations. He would take the kids out swimming on a Sunday afternoon. Maybe some of you recall this story. And he's got all these teenagers. Now you can be sure, when you take them out swimming, there is one thing that will absolutely happen every single time. And that is this, that about five or six teenagers will jump on the counselor and take him down. Well, this counselor was very smart. He said, Geisler, here's what I do. I know I'm going down. There is no way I can ward off five or six of these big teenage boys. He said, but I got a theory just like the devil. I hold on to as many of those teenagers as I can when they're pushing me under, and I take them under with me. That's the goal of Satan. Take down as many of you in Parma as he can. We have to be leery. We have to be on guard. That's why Jesus says, watch out, because the devil is a roaring lion, walks about seeking whom he might devour. And so this man was left behind in order to witness. Now, so that none of you get afraid of demon possession, I want to make a statement. And I want you to listen very, very carefully so that you don't walk away with some false doctrine and discourage yourself and go into despair. If you are a Christian, you cannot be demon possessed. If you are a Christian, you are Holy Spirit possessed. He is in charge of your life. Oh, to be sure, the evil demons will be tempting your old man, your old attitude that was talked about in Colossians today, and trying to get you to sin. And yes, you will sin at times because you are inclined there. As Paul says, the good that I want to do, I end up doing evil. That is true. But there's another side, the side that is triumphant, the side to which Paul says, thanks be to God who gives us the victory. And we are victorious people. Christ has risen. We have risen in faith, and we are Holy Spirit possessed. But don't tempt the Holy Spirit. Don't grieve him, the book of Ephesians says. Don't grieve the Holy Spirit, whereby you are sealed unto redemption. Don't play away around with sin. You remember what Paul said in Colossians? Get rid of this, get rid of that, don't do this. But enjoy these kind of things that are from God. The battle is on. Oh, yes. The battle of Calvary was won by Jesus. But he's left us around and also the evil spirits to test us. And he's given us the power to defeat them. Just like Jesus defeated the demons, you and I have that power. But it's a matter of using it through faith. Not sitting back and doing one foot for Jesus and the other foot for Satan. Because all of a sudden you'll be 2 feet for Satan. It's a constant battle, as the Apostle Paul says, but I remind you, thanks be to God who has given us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what that means? That means get going then, after you have the Holy Spirit in you. What did Jesus say to that man? Stay here and tell them what great things God has done for you. But we're so busy often talking about all the things that aren't going right. I name them from bank accounts to sickness to that to whatever, that we don't have the time to tell people what great things God has done for us physically and also spiritually. Now, a lot of people say, I can't do it. I could never do what that man did. Witness to those people in that town. Hello, you do it every Sunday morning. You just did it. We recited the Apostles' Creed. Did you mean that when you said, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, and in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church? Did you mean it, or you're just lipping it? Well, when you said it, you are telling all the people around you that they're not out there alone, that we have a unified faith. You were witnessing. You were doing evangelism. You were doing mission work. If somebody is here that is new and has never heard it, you did your job this morning. That's why to take a vacation in the summertime, oh, God must be on vacation, so I'll just come to church once in a while. You're missing out on doing the witnessing to others. Because what do people often see? Wow, there aren't very many people in church on the summertime. Look at all those empty pews. And that sends a message. Jesus must not be very important. Oh, wait, he's important 1 week out of a month. But yay. You get my point, correct? Jesus didn't leave that guy around in order to witness, oh, maybe once a month. He said, you get out there and you tell them what God has done for you. And that's why you and I are left behind. Beyond Calvary, where the battle was won, but Satan is still the prince of this world, we are in test mode. We have been left behind to do here, well, whatever city you live in, around the bigger Cleveland area, we've been left behind to do our job in our homes, with our relatives, with our friends, with the enemy that you do not like. And if you did it, maybe he would like you and he'd become your friend. Haven't thought about that. I love to use sarcasm in the pulpit. Sometimes jars people. Oh, I don't like to hear that. Well, if it hits you and you don't like it, then it means I got through to you. As I tell you, I preach all my sermons against me and for me. Then I know I get all the other rotten, filthy, good-for-nothing sinners also. Because we're all in the same boat. And we've been left behind. I close with this Bible passage. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 20. You were purchased with a price, the price of Jesus' blood. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which is God's. We belong to God. We are spirit-filled. Not with evil demons, but with God's own spirit. We are headed for heaven. Let's do our work in the meantime. In Jesus' name, amen. Now the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.
Thanks for listening. If you are searching for a church, join us at Bethlehem. We are located at 7500 State Road in Parma. This is our Sunday schedule, service at 8, classes at 9:30, service at 10:45. We also have a service on Mondays at 7 p.m. For many other ways to benefit from the Bible, visit our website, BethlehemLutheranChurchParma.com. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you.